Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I have some wonderful guests with me. I have Renata Ash in England, and of course her husband Stephen Ash was on the show back in September and talking about their Golden Light Project. This is something they've been doing for the last 12 years. And so just to start off, I'd like to welcome you, Renata and Stephen.
Thank you, Caroline. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's good to have you with us again. And for those listeners that may not have listened to the previous show, would you just give us a brief little story about the Golden Light Project and what it's about and what you've been doing?
Yeah, the Golden Light Project really is a form of getting people into a higher vibration. And it started in 2010, where I suddenly went into a very strange period of a deep depression for no apparent reason. And I was so incredibly miserable that all I could do was stay in bed and cry. And I cried and I prayed. I cried and I prayed. And I felt I was sort of looking at my life and evaluating what I had done with my life. And I wanted to know, is there something that I can do to make my life worthwhile? And it seemed in this depression that there was nothing that I had done that had been worthwhile. And so I really prayed. I prayed for guidance because I felt that in that sort of depression, I mean, life wasn't really worthwhile living. Mm-hmm. And this went on for a few days. And, you know, I'm really blessed to have a wonderful husband who kind of is so supportive and he's so sensitive. And he would just be with me and be present and help me to not kind of lose it totally. And very interestingly, one morning, you know, as I was sitting in bed and crying again, this idea popped into my mind, and it was more, you know, it was like I could see very clearly what needed to be done, and it was to bring the golden light into the human energy system, into the chakras. And it was such a powerful picture, and it was so clear. And as I perceived this idea, the depression just went. It was extraordinary. And I jumped up and I ran to Stephen and I said, Stephen, I know exactly what we need to do. We need to create this program for people to bring the golden light into their lives and into their being and into their bodies. And that must have been about the 15th of January. And so Stephen said, yeah, okay, so when do you want to do that? And as I was listening to the question, the date popped into my mind, and it was the 1st of February, which is, of course, the ancient festival of the light in Imbolc in England, or Candlemas, or whatever you want to call it. So it's a celebration of light. Mm-hmm. And that date came into my mind, and it was only, you know, a fortnight from the date where we were at and the beginning, that date that I saw for this program. And so we thought, so, you know, how is this going to happen? And it was like as if someone was talking me through, you know, this is how you're going to do it. And you're going to do that through the internet, and you're going to reach many people through that. And so from that moment onward, Stephen and I, we were just, you know, working around the clock to get this together. And in the end, it was so interesting because we had the first, it was a 13-day program. That was always clear because in the vision that we had seen many years ago, we saw the human energy system to consist of 13 chakras. So, you know, things have expanded. We have evolved, if you like.
And there and
there are 13 chakras, and some of them are outside of the body, you know, and the heart has expanded tremendously, you know, to just be able to hold that influx of love and the intensity of love that is needed now. And so by the 1st of February, I mean, we had the program and the text and the meditation for the first day ready. And so what happened for the next 13 days, we would then work all throughout the day and half of the night, write or channel or sort of, you know, get this information on what the next day was going to be about, the meditation for the next day. Then I would have to translate it into German because we were offering it in English and in German, then put it on the web. And that went on for 13 days. And it was quite extraordinary because also I don't think we had much sleep, you know, a couple of hours every night. We were not tired. We were completely energized. And we were really happy and really fulfilled in doing this. Mm-hmm. And so we had put this out, and we got fantastic feedback, and people really had incredible experiences, in which I, in a sense, it surprised me. In another way, it didn't surprise me at all, because we had experienced this incredible energy working within and through us. Mm-hmm. And then it became sort of clear. Initially, I thought this was just a one-off thing that we had to do, and then it became clear again through in meditation and through listening very intently to, you know, what is the next step, that this was given by spirit as a program to help in, clear through the energy system, you know, much like a pipe that is sort of a bit mucky inside, and you come through with a brush, you know, and you have to brush through several times. I mean, just one brushing through will not lift out all the debris that's in there. And so we understood this to be a program that people should do regularly. And so it eventually happened that we were offering this Golden Light Project every 3 months, or at all the quarters of the year. So it was winter solstice, equinox, spring equinox, summer solstice, autumn equinox, and then we went to winter solstice again. And the interesting thing was, when we counted the number of equinoxes and solstices to the winter solstice 2012, we came up with exactly 13. So again, we had 13 chakras, and we had 13 projects to do. We had 13 quarters of the year where we were going to do that. And so that's what we did. And, you know, we then managed to sort of record the meditations and put music, our own music behind. And that was a huge step forward, because people then could just sit back. They'd sit at their computer, sit back, close their eyes, and do the meditations. And that was a kind of a wonderful thing to do. And so we continued with this program, and we felt it was really a preparation for the energetic change that happened last winter solstice.
Yes.
It was to get people prepared. And interestingly enough, the ones, you know, we had, sometimes we had over, you know, well over 1,000 people doing this, all doing the same thing on the same day. And we created a real tangible force field. You could feel the energy, you know, and then we would use maybe this energy that was created by the group and direct the golden light, let's say, to the oil spill in the Gulf or to the Middle East, and really make it a useful project as well, that we would not just serve ourselves and our well-being, but put it out into the world.
That's wonderful. And, you know, it's always uplifting to hear that someone's prayer was answered and that they were then empowered to follow the guidance and to do something wonderful for the world. That's what happened to you. How wonderful.
Yes.
So go ahead.
It was a really a life-changing experience, I would say. You know, I know that prayers are answered, and I know they are not always answered exactly in the way that we expect them to be answered. But I think that's also a new learning, that we have to leave our expectations out of the equation. You know?
Well, we have to, I think we have to be able to surrender to the light and to the gifts they give us, because sometimes people receive an inspiration like you did and they don't act on it. They're a little timid about it, or they don't know what to do or whatever, but you acted on it and you brought forth this beautiful Golden Light project that touched many, many people. And so that's the key to allowing spirit to work through you.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think that is exactly what we are all made to learn right now, you know, this process of surrender? And I don't mean, you know, that we shouldn't have goals and projects and dreams and so on. But I for a long time, I couldn't understand when someone said, well, you know, you set a goal, or you create a project for yourself, and you hold the dream. But then you also have to let it go. But I think this is what you're referring to when you say you have to surrender, isn't it?
Yes, because we're given a lot of guidance. And if we hear it, and most people do, but they, some of them put it aside, oh, it's my imagination, or, you know, or what will people think if I do something like that? I don't know how to do that. You know, they put up blocks to it. But if that's what I mean by surrendering. If we hear the guidance and don't act on it, we haven't surrendered. But if we hear the guidance and understand that the spirit is wanting to work through us and allow that to happen, magical things happen in the world.
Yeah.
And your Golden Light project was wonderful. I know you have some really beautiful YouTube videos of that. And so I would urge all of our listeners to take a little time and look at some of those videos, because they're so much love and they're very inspiring.
Oh,
and I think, what you were doing is wonderful.
Thank you, Caroline.
So,
we do, you know, we can only do our best and keep listening for the guidance to tell us where to go and what to do next.
Yes, and it's amazing how it works through us. I know sometimes I've gone and to speak, and I just say before I go on, even before I go on air today, I say, all right, put the right words in my mouth. Help me to say things that are loving and healing to the world, because this is what we bring through with our voices on the radio. And so it's very important that we understand that we're being empowered and allow it to flow through us.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
And surrender is actually a beautiful process. I think most people are kind of a little bit scared and beware, because they feel like, you know, they are made victims. But I found, and I continually find, surrender a process of great freedom.
Yes. It actually opens the door to so many blessings that if people understood that, they wouldn't hesitate to be willing to be here and be a spokesperson for the light, or to be allow love to flow through them, allow the love that's already in us that we tend to keep shut up in our hearts out of fear or whatever programs we've been given in our lives. Some people keep their love walled up, but we need to learn to open ourselves and let that love just flow out to the world. And it creates blessings, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, I know that many light workers like yourselves that were focusing on the approaching Mayan calendar date of December 21st, now that that date has come and gone, what are your thoughts about the next step for humanity's evolution?
Well, I've been feeling for a while very strongly that we need to kind of invite the divine feminine back into our lives and into the world. And I believe that at the winter solstice, there was really this handing over of the, what you call it, the scepter. You know, it's like the feminine is now to come forward. And I feel that, and I'm not alone, like you feel it as well, I think, that there is a great presence of the feminine divine.
Yes.
That is made, its presence felt. I think she has been there all the time. But now it feels like her presence is very much more tangible. And I think what it calls to us, maybe to the women in the first place, to kind of remember what it means to be feminine, you know, what it means to be a daughter of the Divine Mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that? How does that translate into everyday life? And, you know, we are very much, the women also, many of us have become very immersed in the yang, the masculine way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's perhaps part of the reason why the world is in such a state. You know, because if everything is just driving forward, it's just yang, it's just power, it's just, you know, burning through all the time, then we don't pay attention to the receptive side. We don't pay attention to that within us, which is actually very soft, you know, which would love to work in circles, you know, to work together, to put our minds together.
Yes.
That's the place where compassion lives. And, you know, if we are in this mind frame of, you know, I have got to be at the top, you know, and what happens to anyone else is none of my business, it doesn't interest me, you know, we are not living that feminine side at all. You know, we're just living very much in the competitive mind frame of a yang-driven society.
Yes.
And I find it so incredibly interesting what's happening in the church at the moment, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, it's touching also that the new pope would go and make his first prayers of thanks in a basilica that is dedicated to Our Lady. You know, that to me is a wonderful gesture of saying, yes, you know, we invite that power back into the church, we invite it back into society, and we invite it back into our lives, and then just see what happens. You know, how does that then affect the way we interact with each other, the way we live our lives, the way we do our work?
Yes, because it will be very different from the masculine approach that has been sort of running the world for the last few thousand years, because the feminine approach is one of cooperation and harmony rather than competitiveness and warring to be the winner of whatever the situation is. I think we have to come to terms with this this idea that we have to compare ourselves with everybody else, and then we have to compete with them for everything that we have and for our status and our image of who we are and all of this. That just doesn't make sense from a feminine point of view, where we feel like we're all part of the same family, and family should support each other and care about each other and help each other. Imagine if everybody helped each other instead of competing against each other. What a different world it would be.
Yeah. You know, and how much easier would it be to live in that way?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to constantly look over your back and think, oh, you know, who's going to come up behind me? Because you would know that the people who are behind you, they are actually supporting you, because they understand that in supporting you, they support themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and because we actually are all one. And, you know, somewhere along the line, that concept got lost. But you know, one of the things I've always admired about the Native American cultures is that they do honor women. And they celebrate, you know, the young girls when they reach their moon time. They celebrate them becoming women, because the greatest gift that the Creator gave to humankind was the ability to create new life. And it's the woman's body that creates new life. And so this is a wonderful, precious thing. And women have been treated in such ways that they forgot that they are the divine chalice through which all life flows.
Mm. You know, but it is a kind of, it is an education that starts very early on. And, yes. And you know, I've come from a sort of very conventional background, and almost like I would say in, you know, in my sort of academic education, it's almost like brainwashing. You know, mm-hmm. everything that is that you are meant to believe and to act on and to accept has to be logical. It has to be provable. It has, you know, it has to have kind of evidence in it. And of course, when you look for this other side, it's not evidence based, but it's feeling based. You know, mm-hmm. and that in modern society, in this kind of competitive society, that is sort of has been pushed aside. And I really do feel, and this is what I see over the last few weeks since the solstice, is very interesting, because I think many of us felt that there was suddenly a great vacuum. Mm-hmm. You know, it was as if the old was definitely gone. You know, it didn't work. The old patterns didn't work anymore. The old frameworks were obsolete. But there was not really a clear way forward to be seen as yet. And so people were kind of, they were made to sit just with themselves and just accept that vacuum and wait for it to be filled.
I keep telling people, you are like a lotus unfolding, and you will unfold in your own time, and you have to be patient with yourself and allow it to happen. You can't force it to happen. You're not ordering a hamburger at McDonald's and saying, well, I want enlightenment now, and I want to ascend now. You are unfolding, and this is your life and your unfoldment, and everyone unfolds at different rates of speed and in their own time. So be patient. And the journey is the important thing. It's not the destination. Enjoy the unfolding and just go with that flow.
You know,
don't you agree?
That's just wonderful advice, because I think we also focused on arriving.
Yes.
But you know, as long as I am alive, I don't arrive anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I've gotten to somewhere, there's always somewhere else to go, isn't it? You know, life never stands still.
Everything is changing, yes.
Yeah, that's the nature of life. You know, as long as I'm alive, things are changing. And I'm on this journey, you know, and I know you love the medicine wheel. I love the medicine wheel because, for me, it's a constant reminder, you know, that everything is always in flux. You know, nothing is static, nothing is fixed, you know, and as much as I sometimes would want it to be fixed when everything is working fantastically, you know, and things look so bright, I have to remember that too has its cycle of, you know, going down again.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is a learning of a lifetime, isn't it, to sort of see that, you know, there's actually no point in becoming fearful or in wanting to hold on to something because we can't. You know, life will always take us onto the next destination and then on from there and then on from there. And so we might as well, as you say, enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Instead of constantly, you know, thinking, oh, I want to get there, I want to get there, you know.
Or being so afraid of change that you're saying, oh, no, stop the picture. I don't want any change. I'm scared of change, you know. But, you know, these are very changing times that we're in, entering this new 26,000-year age. Mm. And, of course, the energies are shifting. As you mentioned, the feminine energy is coming in. I feel it so strongly. And actually, I was shown in meditation what it was happening, and I was shown the symbol, the logo, I can't even think of the name of it now, with the black and the white side and the dot of white and the black.
The yin yang.
Yes, and I was shown how this age we are moving from one side to the other. And, of course, I don't know why they call always the feminine side as being the dark side, because I don't feel that. But we are moving into the feminine age. We are leaving a masculine age, and we are moving into a feminine age. So people are going to be needing to learn to listen to their feelings. How does this feel? How do you feel about that? Listen to their feelings instead of their left brain that says, no, this is what the program says. This is what you're going to do. The programming doesn't work in this new age that we're moving into.
Yeah.
The old structures are changing. It's a changing of the guard. And as you mentioned, many people are feeling like they're in a void. All of a sudden, there were a lot of new agers that were expecting to ascend at the end of the calendar, that there was this major thing that was going to happen somehow, and they were going to be transformed instantly into their light bodies. And, of course, that didn't happen. So there are a lot of people that are kind of frightened and confused and unsure of what path to take now. What do you do now? Okay, we got past the end of the Mayan calendar. Now what? You know? Mm. So I'm glad I got your newsletter, and I saw that you're channeling Kuan Yin. And that is such a beautiful energy. Tell us a little bit more about how that happened.
Well, you see, admitting this in a newsletter, because I've been doing this for 4 years now, but mm-hmm. actually putting it into a newsletter and saying it, this is a result of this new energy. Because up until now, I never had the courage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it took this void, as you call it, or this vacuum for me to kind of understand that this is what wants to fill the vacuum. You know, it's like I decided, I made this decision that I surrender. You know, I surrender to that energy and I will serve it. I will serve the Divine Mother in any way I can. You know, if she chooses to work through me, then, you know, I do what I can from my perspective on as I am able to make myself available. And it was, I think, I have had in my life, I mean, I'm not a young chicken anymore, so I've had quite a few people who have said to me, you know, clairvoyant people or channeling mediums, you have got this lady with you. you know, this white lady. And the first time someone told me that, it must have been about 30 years ago. And I knew nothing about Kuan Yin. I had sort of really left the church behind me because I didn't want to be caught up in that. So, you know, I had respect for Our Lady, for Mary, but I felt I was quite sort of distant from that. And then I had this this very gifted channel do an aura drawing for me, and he also drew this face of this woman. He said, "You've got this woman with you." And it meant nothing to me, you know. And I thought, oh, God, you know, I went to a convent school as a kid, you know, so I thought, oh, God, a nun, that's all I need, you know, that's kind of, because I had very, very bad experiences. I thought, no.
that old programming.
Yeah, we're not going to go there, you see. So I left it, you know, and I didn't pay attention. And then many years later, I could feel that presence, but I sort of chose to more or less ignore it, you know, because of my experiences in my youth. So then I had a channeling by chance with a very wonderful lady in California, and suddenly she was channeling someone else, a Chinese, an Eastern spirit or energy. And suddenly she said, oh, you know, Kuan Yin is wanting to speak with you. And then she told me, you know, you are her hands and you are her eyes, you know. And I was quite shocked because it was so unexpected. So, you know, what do you do with this? And then I thought, well, how can I be her hands, you know? Well, what does that mean? And then Stephen's brother, David, had been traveling through the Far East. And he had been in Thailand. And as he was visiting with his wife a temple, an old priest came up to him and said, what took you so long? I've been waiting for you. You know, I've got something to give to you that you need to take him to the West. You know, the Western world is really in need of this ceremony. It's a sacred ceremony that we have been, you know, performing for thousands of years. And, you know, I'm the last in the line, and I want to pass this. I need to pass this on to you. And David said, well, you know, he was kind of, I think he was a bit shocked because he didn't know how this priest even knew that he was coming. But he and his wife learned this ceremony, which is called a Sabai ceremony. And Sabai means blessing. Mm. And essentially what happens is that you, in a Sabai ceremony, you receive through a sacred cloth the energy of ascended masters. Mm. And that cloth is very beautiful, you know, a beautiful colored silken cloth that carry that energy, and they are placed around the shoulders of people, and then people sort of enter into a dialogue, I suppose, with that energy, you know, they receive blessings. And so David and his wife learned this ceremony. They were instructed on how to conduct it, and when David left Thailand, this old priest gave him two sabais, two sacred cloths. And one was a black one, which was which carries the energy of source. Mm. And the other one was a white one, which carries the energy of Kuan Yin. And when David came back to England, he felt compelled to gift me with this white sabai. And I was kind of, you know, I didn't know exactly what to do with it. But we were at the festival, and there were lots of people waiting for the final conclusion, for the final ceremony. And David said, you just, you know, you put this cloth around you, and then you just do what comes to you. You know, you will. This is Kuan Yin, whom you are receiving through the Sabai, and then just see what happens. And I remember walking from person to person. There must have been, I don't know, 80, 90 people perhaps there. And I was just going from person to person. And my mind was going crazy because I felt this urge to put my hand on people's hearts or stroke their faces, you know, or hold their hands. And I could feel tremendous energy sort of coming through me and pouring into these people. But my mind was saying, you must be nuts. You know, what are you doing here? You don't know that person. How can you, you know, hold their face or kiss their forehead? But the energy was so strong that I had to do it anyway. So I was wrestling with my mind. But I had to do what I was impelled to do. And since then, I have just worked with that. And, you know, it's become stronger and stronger and stronger. And now often when I put that white sabai around me, or I put it around someone and I hold their hands, and I feel that I'm looking with my eyes, but they are not my eyes. Because in that state, in that energy, I can see a person's soul. You know, so it's not my eyes looking. I look through, it's her eyes that are looking through me and showing me the beauty of that person. You know, I can see their pain also. But more than anything, I see the incredible beauty of their soul.
That's and their truth.
Mm-hmm. It's such an incredible experience every time, you know, and it's something where I have to totally let go and trust that this energy is flowing through me, because it's a gift. I can't demand it. I can't make it happen. You know, yes. It happens because she wants it to happen. And
wow.
And yeah,
that's beautiful.
I mean, This is,
have become the hands and the eyes of Kuan Yin.
Yeah.
And you surrendered to that, and it's flowing through you. That's a wonderful gift.
Oh, it is, Caroline. I mean, it is, and it is for me, because it has transformed my life so much. You know, I look mm-hmm. back now where I was and who I was when I was gifted with this sabai. And it was really the sabai that brought this out, because it holds the energy so strongly, I think. And, you know, and I've become more and more ready as life has kind of knocked the sharp edges off. You know, I've become more and more ready to be that channel. And I'm mm-hmm. glad that it's not a speaking channel. You know,
right.
I wouldn't want to speak, because that would be too much of an opportunity for my mind to interfere. But
yes.
I can put my hands on someone else's hands and then just feel where they have to go next. You know, mm-hmm. this is what I can do without the interference of my intellect.
Yes. Well, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I see that you are holding a goddess retreat in Devon the end of April. What do you plan to do at a goddess retreat?
Well, it is really all about finding the place in the heart where Divine Mother lives. And she lives in everyone's heart. You know,
yes.
It's just we haven't been taught to look in that place. And we haven't been taught to look into our hearts. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a lot of meditations, we're going to do toning, we're going to sing beautiful songs to the Divine Mother, you know. And I've always found singing and music for me is one of the greatest catalysts for joy and for opening up the heart. I can't help it. When I sing and when I sing with other people and I hear the beautiful harmonies that starting to develop, I feel so... out. It's bliss, you know. It's not just happy. It's just bliss. And I know other people feel it as well. And so we use the singing, and we use sacred drumming. And we're going to, of course, do Sabai ceremonies and find ways for each person to connect to that sacred feminine energy within their hearts. And it's not just for women. I have invited men as well, because I think they, if they are open to it, they benefit just as much. And maybe the men need to feel that energy, you know, that completely compassionate, loving, unconditionally loving energy that comes from the divine feminine. And so, you know, we do this retreat in a beautiful place where they have a wonderful crystal labyrinth. So we may be walking the labyrinth, you know, and we have times of just silence. And I know that sometimes it's uncomfortable for people, but I think you go through this phase of it feeling very uncomfortable with the silence, and then suddenly something, you know, releases. It's like almost a shell breaks open, and then you can go into that place in the heart.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to this, because we will be focusing on Kuan Yin, on Our Lady, you know, Mary, and on White Buffalo Calf Woman.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. There have been many parts of our Divine Mother that have appeared in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And we know it as all Divine Mother. And I'm glad you're including men in your retreat, because we don't want them to feel left out, and we do want them to understand the importance of the gifts that Divine Mother brings to the planet, the gifts of love and harmony and cooperation and helping each other and nurturing each other. And that's so important now. I think that's how we're going to birth this new age that is coming in.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I feel. And this is why, in a sense, I've taken this step to actually say now, you know, what I do. I'm glad I did it, because I'm not doing it out of sort of pigheadedness, but I'm doing it because I feel that this is how I can serve best.
Yes, and I do believe it is the next step that we're moving into, and so we're here to help welcome Divine Mother back into all the fullness of her being here on Earth. So tell me a little bit about your flower essences, because I know there have been many different kinds out there, the Bach remedies and aromatherapy and all of these things that people have been working with. But you have developed something for the 21st century that is a little different. Would you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, with pleasure. It's quite interesting that all the important things in my life, they in some way they are also connected with painful events. And with the rainbow essences, it was the fact that we lost a baby. You know, we had I was pregnant with a little girl, and she was born early, and we were unlucky that we were in a hospital. Well, I say unlucky, it's actually not true. But we were I was in a hospital where they didn't have a neonatal care unit. So there was no way that she could be kept alive, and she wasn't able to breathe on her own. She would have had to be on a baby ventilator. And so it was really interesting, because, you know, that child, I was in such close communication with that baby, you know, and we had one daughter, beautiful daughter, you know, our daughter Joy, and the second one was this little baby whom we called Rosie, you know, and some really weird things in connection with this pregnancy, because it was all really out of the ordinary. But anyway, when she was born and when she died, we Stephen and I were aware that we had to make a decision. You know, we could either sort of fall into this despair, you know, over losing a child. And it is a really traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything in your body is prepared and is ready to hold and to feed and to nourish this child, and there's nothing to hold and there's nothing to feed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no one there. And so we decided that we were going to just help each other to stay, you know, to not fall into this kind of huge pit of sorrow and grief and despair, but to just accept this as something that we were meant to go through, you know, and Rosie also was meant to go through that, you know. And mm-hmm. so we organized a funeral for her, because at that time it wasn't really common for miscarriages to have a funeral, but we organized that. And we were waiting outside the crematorium for the ashes, and you know, nothing, no one came out. And eventually, and all we saw was this billowing smoke, and we noticed that, both of us. And then eventually a man came out and said, "Well, you know what we were doing here?" And we said, "Well, we are waiting for the ashes of our daughter." And he looked very he was very embarrassed, and he said, has no one talked to you?" And we said, "Well, what do you mean, talked about what?" And he said, "Well, with babies that young, there are no ashes. There's nothing left over."
Oh.
So she came. It was like she had visited. She came, she visited, she stayed for a very short period of time, and then she went in that smoke.
Yes.
You know, and it was just like that. And you know, so we went home, and it was shortly before Stephen's birthday. And, you know, people are well-meaning but often very insensitive. So people had tried to organize a surprise birthday party for Stephen, but we had just lost a child. You know, but I was so kind of dazed a bit, so I didn't kind of object. But when Stephen found out, and luckily he found out, he discovered the surprise, and he said, "Why? I don't want the party." And I said, "I'm so glad you're saying this, because I don't want the party. You know, I want to be quiet and come to terms with this." And so we decided we were going to design these essences, and they were meant to be essences for the chakras. And we both thought, well, seven chakras, you know, how difficult can mm-hmm. that be? And we had sort of been collecting and making flower essences and crystal essences. And so on Stephen's birthday, we got together with a friend, and we were putting all these essences out on the table, and we sort of constructed on the table a picture of the human chakra system.
Oh.
You know, and with crystals and with the flower essences. And so we very quickly we had those seven chakras mapped out. But then we used the dowsing rods and the pendulum, and there was a clear indication that this was not a complete picture. So we thought, well, that's very interesting, isn't it? So we then found another chakra, which we all know now about, but at that time no one actually knew about it, which is the Earth Star, which is connecting us to the Earth and really the container for our soul as we come into this planet,
mm-hmm.
into this life. So that was the next one. And then we found three chakras above the head. You know,
yes.
Stellar gateway, connection to the highest self, soul star, where the soul resides and where we have connection with our soul family. And then a very interesting chakra, which is incredibly powerful, which we call past life.
Yes.
You know, well, it's like you could say Akashic records, you know, every memory, everything.
Renata. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, but we have run out of time, and this is so wonderful. I want people to know that how they can get those essences through rainbowmedicinecircle.com. Is that your website?
Yes, exactly.
Rainbowmedicinecircle.com. Okay, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll have to continue this conversation another time. Okay.
I'm sure we will. Thank you, Caroline. Lots of love. Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Blessings to you. Thank you. And for
thank
my
you.
Listeners.
You're in touch, Caroline.
Okay. Thank you. And for all my listeners, thank you for tuning in today. Have a wonderful week coming up. May the sun kiss your face. May the waters bless your body. And may all nature sing in your presence.